Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Name that tune. It takes a second, doesn't it? It is the Rolling Stones classic Painted Black, and it features in the Netflix series Wednesday, where Wednesday Addams dances to the tune. Bridgerton is another TV series featuring classically reimagined dance song. Artists getting the treatment include Alanis Morissette's You Oughta Know, Billie Eilish's Bad Guy, Harry Styles' Sign of the Times. There is a vogue now for reimagining rock, pop and dance songs that has introduced a younger audience to classical music and the dance anthems of our generation's youth. With me in studio to give us the background to this new genre is Simon Marr, founder of 8radio.com, and classical violinist Ali Comerford, who has performed live on reimagined dance songs. Good morning to both of you. Simon, where did this all start?
It's a lot of this started in around the time of the Hacienda Club in Manchester and manumission of the huge clubs of the 1990s. And a lot of the dance music that was being written at the time was actually being written on piano. And it was based around very, very simple melodies. And it was took then, maybe 20, 30 years later, for people to discover that with these simple melodies, there's so much more that you can do to them. Because really what they start, an awful lot of these tunes started off with simple piano, and then you put your beats on afterwards, whatever samples you had. And then somebody discovered, hang on a minute, there's more we can do with this. We can classical-ify this, they decided was the word. And then that's where it started.
Okay, there's a little bit of a problem with that though, isn't there, Ali? Because an awful lot of the music, as we know from the Hacienda and from that period, was based on repetition of the same thing, and that doesn't really work that well, particularly with strings.
Yeah, I think like it's just a really important point that you need to make the arrangement good, and once you get like a really good arranger in there who can like mix up the chords and change the harmonies,
yeah,
it really makes
and introduce
pop.
Variety to
exactly.
That sound, because
yeah.
Our ears love variety, don't
yeah.
They?
Yeah, like just changing up who's playing the melody. Like it doesn't always have to be first violin. In if you're playing with a string quartet, you can change it around and change who's playing the harmony parts, and then that will in turn make it more interesting.
Okay, let's get straight into what is hopefully a good example of what you're talking about. Jenny Green and the RTE Concert Orchestra giving Rosales Everybody's Free a bit of a classical treatment. Does this work, Simon, beyond the first time that you hear it and the novelty value?
I think as long as you're adding something else to it. So the novelty value is obviously going to be great, and the novelty value of hearing this again in a big arena, all of that stuff has got some value. But for you to go back to it, the music has to be good for a start. But I think you're absolutely right, Ali. It's all in the arrangement. You've got to have the arrangements that make it more than what it was. And that's what some of these people have done really, really well.
And it's almost that kind of wall of sound, big sound
oh, yeah.
Treatment. If you're going to do this, go big or go home.
Oh, yeah. And particularly with a lot of the dance tunes is that this is not a place for subtlety. You know, this is a place where we're going to go at this, you know, because when you're taking it from something simple, but you want to make it big, you know, you want to make full use. I have an orchestra here, you know, so I've got to make sure I use it.
I would imagine as a fiddle player, though, Ali, you're going to say, hang on a second, the solo violinist can have a crack at this on their own.
Well, I'm a big fan of the string quartet. So I think that like you can achieve major effects. You can get people in the fields with just a string quartet.
It doesn't need a 52-piece orchestra.
No, not necessarily. You've seen like a lot of people coming along now, like Hozier and people, show up with a string quartet playing behind them. And like it really gets you. Like you don't necessarily need a full symphony to make an impact.
Okay, what you're talking about is something slightly different, though,
yeah.
Because you're talking about pop stars and musicians using classical to tickle up what it is that they're doing. Simon, what you're talking about is just taking pop, getting rid of the pop element and classifying it.
Yeah? Absolutely, absolutely yeah.
Okay, we'll have a listen to your favourite now. This is Etta Jones, At Last. You've actually already said it, Ali, haven't you? Just those opening bars, yeah. All the feels.
All the feels. Like, that to me is incredible. Now, it is more of, like, that's the original song.
Ah.
But if you can get people playing arrangements of this as a string quartet, where they leave out her vocal, obviously, and then they play it in the violin parts, and it's just so beautiful, because that arrangement in itself is so well done. That it doesn't really need anything else.
Not too much of a departure, whereas this is. Takes a while, doesn't it, that one, before you cop what it is. Material Girl, as used in Bridgerton. There you had, I think, a nice kind of synthesis of subject matter of the song complementing the plot lines from Bridgerton. How much of this are we seeing coming from TV, Simon?
We're seeing a lot of it now. We really, really are. And programmes like Bridgerton and like Wednesday, you know, they're doing it in a big way. Movies kind of went through a phase of doing it in the mid-1990s. And I think perhaps even with some of the dancier stuff, they went to it. But now the 80s, which is the decade that fascinates everybody, because everybody wonders, well, the 70s kind of age, even to some extent the 90s and the 2000s have aged, whereas the 80s doesn't seem to. And popular culture and TV and film comes back to it again and again and again. Whether it's
Can
just
you explain that phenomenon? Because I keep on thinking that my kids are trolling me when they keep on going back to 80s music. But they're not. They genuinely have an effect.
Absolutely, they absolutely love it. And you can see the entire circuit that exists now of all of every 80s band, every 80s artist. They're going and they're selling out venues absolutely everywhere, because there's something about it. There's an ageless quality to it that has taken it from probably quite naff in the 1980s to something that is much more credible now. But again, what's happening is, like, you're looking at something like Material Girl. Material Girl is a great song, you know, and the what they've used in Bridgerton is a great arrangement of a great song.
Ali, you've actually worked on some of these. Is it good crack?
Yeah, it's great crack. Yeah, I played a lot with Fever, a company run these candlelight concerts around Dublin, and they do like Taylor Swift concerts, Daft Punk, Coldplay.
And Daft Punk?
Oh yeah.
Now that stretches the imagination.
Yeah.
That like?
Well, that was, for me, I only played one of them, but I was told around 2.5 hours before I was you on stage, someone had dropped out. So I got the bus up from Kilkenny and I had just my headphones in the whole way listening. And then it was straight out on stage and
wow,
away
so,
you go.
So did you busk it? Or did you have sheet music?
I had sheet music, yeah.
But from the, I mean, I would imagine with a Daft Punk song, I mean, the timing,
oh,
the
yeah,
rhythm
is...
Oh
yeah, that's it. It's the rhythm. It's getting the rhythm right was, that was the tricky thing.
Okay, let's just do another one of these.
Much future when I left the Christian Brothers school, so I waved it goodbye with a wistful smile, and I left the girls of June. And sometimes when I'm reminiscing, I see the prefabs and my old friends, and I know that they'll be changed all gone by the time I and I wish I was on my
Tola McKay with the RTE Concert Orchestra. It is almost, Simon, as if the Saw Doctors never sang it.
Yeah, and look, and the N17 from the Saw Doctors is an absolutely amazing song. It really, really is. And there is a risk that when somebody else comes and covers it in whatever arrangement, that it's still going to sound like a pub cover. But what Tola McKay and the orchestra managed to do with it was they made it something else entirely. So you now have two songs, Saw Doctors N17, Tola McKay and the Orchestra's N17, and they're both amazing tunes in their own right. And that's the real skill in this.
Ali, fad or something enduring?
Oh no, I think this is here to stay. I think it actually.
You have a vested interest in it. I shouldn't have asked you that.
Absolutely, 100%.
You're completely the wrong person.
No, but I think there is such an audience for it. I think it expands on people who like classical music. I think they enjoy it. I think it's bringing classical music to people who haven't necessarily sat down to listen to it. And I think it's really important, actually.
All right. That is unfortunately our programme for today. I could keep on doing this for the rest of the afternoon. Great fun, but we don't have any more time. Our programme was produced by Barbara Feeney, researcher Emma Cawley, broadcast coordinator Jarlath Holland on sound, Tommy O'Sullivan. Now, at just coming up to 12 o'clock, it's over to Ray Cudahy.